Recovery 101, yeah, with your hosts Bruce, Shelley, and Mark. They want to talk with you, joke with you, and tell you the facts. They want to see you in recovery, working those steps. And when you're through, they want to chat with you. Put down the jack in the crack and take a step on back and go to a meeting and keep coming back. And then tune to recovery101.net. And when you're through, they want to joke with you.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Courtney for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for any 12-step fellowship at all.
None of them.
None. We only speak for ourselves. The opinions are ours and ours alone.
Ours and ours.
I bet secretly they wish we would speak for them.
I know.
Oh, you know they do.
If anybody'd like us to speak for them, just send us a message.
Do you know that Bill W. is saying, why don't they have a frickin' seance so I can tell them I really want them to speak for AA?
Yes, because clearly we are the voice of AA.
Well,
N-A-C-A.
This is the voice.
What song is that?
It's from the show The Voice.
Yeah,
The Voice. I've never seen it.
I saw one episode.
Is it good? I don't know.
Not really.
Yeah. It's only as good as the singers?
Yeah, it is. It's only as good as the singers. The singers are good.
Yeah, there you go. The worst thing is when I watch, like, American Idol, the thing I like the best are the horrible auditions.
Yes, you sit there on YouTube and
God.
He skips the show, but waits until it's like 2 or 3 weeks into it so that he can go on YouTube and watch the horrible audition montages.
Oh, my God.
I love those.
And he sits out here and just laughs his butt off.
Swing low, sweet chariot.
Oh my God, that guy.
Sir, you can't sing.
Yeah.
And they get this shocked look on their face. What?
Yeah.
Randy doesn't know what he's talking
about. Somebody's grandmother told him that they were great.
Yeah.
Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B. As always with
Shelly.
And Mark.
Sweet. Yeah. Feeling excited. How you feeling, Shelly? Excited?
What are you excited about?
Mark and I just did a bunch of rails of cocaine. We're doing good.
We're good.
Also, dog hair all over your microphone.
Oh, my God. You have Bob here. Bob.
Yeah, that's not dog hair. That was that. It's blonde, for one thing.
It was white. It was probably Zen hair.
It's probably my hair. It's white.
Ow, don't make me laugh.
Oh, no, I'm funny to her.
You're funny.
Oh, my God.
You're a funny guy.
Funny. So.
Yes.
How you doing, Shelly? I'm getting ready to go do a panel. I'm going to be of service. What are you going to do?
Me too.
Mark's going to go on a panel too.
Awesome. You guys rock.
I only asked one other person to go on this panel.
And I said no.
She did. She said F
newcomers.
She said F newcomers. I don't want to be of service.
That's not what I said. I said my back hurts.
Oh,
so I need
to
go lay down as soon as we're done recording this.
Yeah, she said F newcomers.
Where are you
going? She goes, I got problem. She goes, I got no problem going to do the things I want to do, but to go speak to newcomers, F no. F no. Shelly is trying to signal one of the children to give her money.
No, I was asking if he had money.
Oh, no, you should know.
She's
you're
trying
doing
to
that.
Signal one of the children for you to give them
you're
money.
Doing that wrong. You should be signaling him for him to give us money.
Yeah, I wouldn't hold your breath on that. He's still got 2 more years of college to go, and then it's the 17-year epic job hunt, because in America, you can't get a job.
America.
Unless you already have a job.
So
South
go
Dakota.
Get it. Go get a job.
True.
Yeah.
South Dakota. You want a job? Go to South. In fact,
South Dakota, North Dakota.
Two biggest jobs in South Dakota are the oil rigs and construction.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the more construction they have, the more of every other kind of job they're going
to
have as well.
Because
they're
going to
build apartment buildings that need managers. They're going to have plumbers. Everything's going to be there.
South Dakota, Texas.
Move to Luckenbach, Texas.
Luckenbach?
With Waylon and Willie and the boys.
Oh,
the hell?
The highwaymen.
See, I don't
Never
even
mind.
Know.
It's an old country song, and it was before your country time.
Before my country time?
Yes.
It's like that same.
So before my lemonade?
Yes, before you had that glass of lemonade.
I don't like any country guys that sound like they're yodeling. How the hell did yodeling go from the Swiss Alps to like a cowboy out on the plains anyway? Anybody? I have no idea. That's
have
kind
you,
of like
you had to ride all day in those saddles.
How did an accordion? How did an accordion get into mariachi music?
Because a bunch of Germans emigrated and ended up in Texas, where there was a bunch of mariachi kind of music going on. And eventually, through intermarriage and stuff, the accordion, which was taught from father to son, infiltrated. If you'll notice, mariachi music in Southern California, no accordions. Mariachi music from Texas, accordions.
Mariachi music is dead off polka music.
Yes.
Polka music.
Well, most of it, yeah, but most of that stuff is from Texas, which is actually kind of permeating
where
mariachi
the hot sauce
as a whole.
From?
Yes.
What? Yeah. Place says the hot sauce is from? Texas?
Yeah.
Okay.
Awesome.
Can we go to work now?
That means it's time for the boozy news. And the news not fit for booze.
Okay. Let's see. We've got shout-outs to the same people we had shout-outs on the last two shows, too.
Shout. Shout.
Let it all out. These are the dreams we can do without. Come on. We're looking for topics. Come on.
Okay, in Jackson, Ohio. Yeah, Gwen. Now this is everybody knows that I am quite fervently in favor of separation of church and state, especially when it comes to public education. However, this is a story. Let me redo the story first. Where I'm kind of like going, because I'm not entirely sure which side I fall on. Since 1947. A painting called The Head of Christ has hung in what they call the Hallway of Honor at Jackson Middle School. So, long time. We're talking decades here. And nobody's ever said anything. There are, past principals.
70 years.
Yeah, there are past principals' portraits up there. There's all. I mean, it was just a hall of people that had been involved with the school or whatever for decades. Nobody had ever said anything until February when the ACLU, of course, and the Freedom From Religion Foundation sued on behalf of a student and her two parents. They said that hanging the portrait in the school, because it's a public school, was an unconstitutional promotion of one religion over another in a public school. On the face of it, prima facie, I have to agree with that. However, now the school is going to roll over and play dead because they went through it with the district attorney, with the school district's attorneys, and the school board and stuff, and decided that they could not put the taxpayers' dollars at risk. Even though they thought they had a case, they couldn't put the taxpayer dollars at risk, and they needed that money for the kids' education. So they're going to take the picture down and move it to the HY Christian Club. Interestingly enough, the reason why they think that they have a case, and I think that this is, for me, I like little weird legal things, so I find it quite intriguing. They said that it might be a breach of church and state. If the portrait actually belonged to the district, then it would have violated the Establishment Clause. But it was a gift to one particular school administration and was therefore protected by the First Amendment. So technically it still belongs to the family of that principal that it was given to, who hung it there in the first place.
So
I'm waiting for Mark to say something.
He's pondering the legal ramifications.
Or not.
I just get so tired of arguing the way the Constitution's been bastardized by people. So I don't even bother anymore. Congress shall pass no law
respecting an establishment of religion.
Or prevent
the free exercise thereof.
Yeah. What's that had to do with having a portrait hanging in the school?
Neither.
You are not passing a law saying people have to honor that religion.
No,
correct.
They did pass a law saying that the student has to go to school.
They do have to go to school. What's that have to do with the picture?
Because by law, this kid has to go to school, and you are putting a picture that portrays
so
one religion in the school the kid is legally
supposed
to go to.
You know what? Let me walk through the school. I'll find a Jewish star in there somewhere. I'll find a rug. I'll find a rug. Does that mean I have to turn toward Mecca and bow on that rug and pray? Take the freaking rug out.
There you go.
He's quite passionate about
take that. The freaking rug out if that's the rule.
Well,
can't have rugs in schools.
We can either have
take
all or none.
Take the rugs out. Because that could be a prayer rug. And if it's a prayer rug, you're making me have to see it. I don't want to see it. So you know what? Get
size.
The freaking ass out of the freaking school. I've had it.
He is putting his foot down. I see his foot. It is down.
The foot is down.
The foot is down. Woo! Okay, we're going to go to a different state now.
Andy, you got any of them tranquilizers?
I'm not gonna challenge Mark on this one anymore. I didn't send that
Would
story
you like to
in
continue?
My life. No. I didn't send that story.
I sat here quietly. I didn't say a word.
I know.
You pulled it out.
Well, somebody's sent the story in.
All okay. Rugs should be taken out of schools. Separation of church and state. They
Does that mean toupees as well?
Huh?
Toupees as well?
Absolutely.
Those are rugs.
I thought this was cute, and I kind of got to give the next story. I got to give the judge props on this one because I don't know that I would call him a hero, but in this day and age, with all of the crooked politicians and crooked cops and everything that we hear about, which may or may not be true, this guy is awesome. In Ionia, Michigan, Judge Raymond Vowett, he has a posted policy in his courtroom that states that any electronic device that causes a disturbance during his court session will result in the person who owns that device being cited with contempt of court and fined.
Yeah.
That's
not jail, but fined.
Fairly common.
Yeah.
He put this fine up. He got sick and tired of people's cell phones going off in the middle of his courtroom.
Uh-huh.
Last week, his cell phone went off in the courtroom. He had it on the bench next to him, uh-huh. And it was a brand new smartphone.
Uh-huh.
He's not used to touchscreens,
uh-huh.
And he accidentally bumped it, and his phone started talking, saying, "I can't understand you. Say something like, Mom."
Mom.
Yeah. And he explained to the court there was a new phone. He didn't know how to use it. And then he said, "But that's an excuse, and I don't take excuses from anyone else."
So he cited himself.
"I set the bar high, and because this is a distraction and there is very serious business going on here, I find myself in contempt of court and fine myself $25.
Now that he's been found in contempt of court as a judge, can we fire him?
Probably.
He should be removed from the bench. I don't think he's allowed to have contempt of court as a judge.
I think it depends on what kind of judge. He's a district judge.
I'll tell you what. The first guy that gets a guilty,
uh-huh.
I'd say it's a
appeal. Yeah.
What do they call it?
Automatic appeal?
No. Not when they're trying a case and then they throw it out.
Mistrial?
Mistrial. Yeah. It's a mistrial because he's has contempt of court.
That's right.
Yeah, but you gotta give him props for.
I do.
Following the rules.
I do.
He set the rules, and he's got to follow them.
I do. Good job. Give yourself some tongue.
Let's see. West Valley City.
Again?
Yes.
Two shows in a row, West Valley pops
things
up.
Things are happening in Utah.
I guess.
Ute.
In Ute. Police officers are actually close to Sandy, Utah, you know, where they have the Sandy Man.
They had the Sandy Man.
Yes, they had the Sandy Man. Remember that story? That was
the Sandy Man can.
Officers tried to pull a van over for a traffic violation. Turned out that the van was a stolen van. The driver sped off, and then, you know, because these guys that do this are brainiacs, threw his meth out the window.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, so a couple of
Into
hours
the ocean?
Later, no, just on the street. A couple of hours later, the witness spotted the van, called the police. The van then ran a red light, T-boned another car.
That's usually the end of the chase.
Well, it would be, but he got out of the van. The guy driving the van got out of the van, tried to run away, but because, you know, they'd done all the alerts things, mm-hmm. You know, looking for this guy, blah, blah, blah. A bunch of bystanders pretty much jumped on him and held him down until the cops
That's
got
awesome.
There.
That's awesome.
Held him down so hard he's now in the hospital.
Yeah, I wonder if they hit him a few times when he was down.
Yeah, I held him down. What are all the cuts and bruises? He tried to get up.
I heard Dick Butkus one time, former linebacker for the Chicago Bears from back in the day, and he was signing books, and he was talking about when they would have a pileup of guys after a tackle. He goes, "Oh, yeah, you beat the crap out of each other." And he goes, "Look, my job is to hurt you so you can't play anymore."
Yeah. Now they call that bounty gate. And they suspend people for like a whole year for doing
Yeah, I bet
like
they do.
Best thing I ever saw was Mike Curtis, linebacker for the Baltimore Colts at the time. And a streaker came running on the field.
Oh, did he lay him out?
Oh, he laid this guy out. Like he just took him. Yeah, the guy goes running, and he just stuck his arm out and threw his shoulder forward, and this guy's feet kept going north, and his head went going south.
That's awesome.
It was a beautiful thing.
We have yet another story from American Fork, Utah. Apparently we know all about what's going on in Utah.
Yeah, this is all that's going on in Utah, by the way.
Yes, it used to be Stupid Studies and Florida with a sprinkling of news from around the world.
Yeah.
Now it's Stupid Studies. We're sadly missing Florida at the moment.
Well,
I'm sure.
Stupid Studies, too.
Well, there are a couple coming up.
Okay.
Yeah, thank God. Bill's still on it. Don't worry. He hasn't fallen down on the job yet. This actually is a kind of a sad story. William Wright was known to friends to be...
Willie Wright?
Yes, was known to friends to be a
peacemaker. I don't know
if
people or not.
Everybody in the neighborhood knew him, loved him. He's 36 years old. He liked to have barbecues and stuff at his house. Lots of the neighborhood friends would come over and stuff. Last week, he was having a party. A 15-year-old boy named Kenan Thompson. No. The 15-year-old boy was, his name's not in the story. His older cousin, the kid's older cousin was Kenan Thompson. Anyway, the 15-year-old tried to get into the party, and William Wright said, "Sorry, dude, you're not 21. I don't want to get in trouble. You shouldn't even be at a party like this. You're too young.
Right.
Come back when you're 21. We'd be happy to have you. You're a neighborhood kid. We love you. You
killed him.
There's no
tried
hero?
To do the right thing.
There's no hero of the week here?
No, there's not a hero of the week. Oh. So the 15-year-old was ticked off, went home, told his loady, cokehead, drunken cousin, Kenan Thompson, what had happened, and Kenan Thompson went back to the party and stabbed him to death. That is a very sad story. You try to do the right thing.
You're at a party. The guy gets stabbed to death with 100 dudes standing around.
Apparently, according to the story, it happened really fast. He just walked up to him, stabbed him once in the neck and once in the stomach, and he was gone. Hit his carotid artery.
Wow.
Yeah. It's very sad what drugs and alcohol do. Apparently, the kid was ticked off because he wanted to drink. And Willie Wright said, "Nope, you're too young." He did the right thing.
So he said, "Hey, cousin, come arrange for you to go to jail for the rest of your life."
Yeah, pretty much.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah, especially since this guy was like one of the neighborhood favorites. Nice guy.
Willie.
Let's see.
And
Kenan.
Long Island, New York.
The tea. The home of the tea.
Yes.
The iced tea.
We have the Stupid Criminal of the Week Award going on here.
Michael Bloomberg constantly drinking 17 ounces of soda.
Ow, don't make me laugh. That hurts my back. Holy crap.
Poor
Shelly. Let me get you dilated. By the way, I have to make mention of something. I have never actually heard a doctor prescribe dilated to someone the holy grail of pain meds.
Uh-huh.
He wanted to prescribe it, or she wanted to prescribe it to Shelly.
Uh-huh.
On the other hand, I've never heard anyone turn
it
down either. She turned it down.
I turned it down. Bruce is sitting right there. The woman said, "Well, we need to give you some pain medication." I already have some pain medication. I haven't finished it from last month. I have
$700 on the street.
I know, but I have a couple of pills left of this other stuff. I wasn't, you know, I just wanted to make sure nothing was broken was my focus because I was in a lot of pain.
We're going to throw the Recovery 101 potluck with the money we raised.
And she said to me, you know, well, I can prescribe Dilaudid, but it might make you a little loopy. And I looked at her and said, "That's kind of like shooting a fly with a bazooka, don't you think? That's a bit of overkill."
You won't care that you hurt.
I know, but you know what? I can't stand Dilaudid.
It won't kill the pain. It makes you not care that you hurt.
She had Dilaudid once.
One time. I will never, ever let them give it to me again. Ever.
I was in the middle of talking to her. Seconds later, she was gone. I called in the morning. "Hey, how you doing?"
"I don't know."
"Oh, they gave me some stuff." "What'd they give you?" "Dilaudid." "Dilaudid?" "Yeah, how was it?" I don't know.
I don't think it worked very well. But I was asleep while it was working.
Yeah. So anyway, Stupid Criminal of the Week. We've got Daniel Bigelow and Gustavo Arque Giron.
Drugs?
Yeah. They were arrested.
Three names?
They started advertising on Craigslist. For what they were calling come to us for natural pain relief. And, you know, sometimes the police troll Craigslist looking for stupid criminals,
like,
and they
all
caught
the time.
Them. Natural pain relief translated into heroin.
That's natural.
It's not all that natural.
No, it's pain relief.
No, it's pain relief.
Cause you a whole new pain, though.
Yeah, so they contacted the phone number and arranged a meeting.
Pain relief until you quit taking it.
Yeah.
The gentleman in question brought 40 bags of heroin to the meeting.
Wow.
Heroin.
Really,
he thought this guy had a lot of pain.
Yeah, they did. So they were.
You're in agony, aren't you?
They were immediately arrested.
40 hits. Who takes 40 hits?
You.
Because you could have, yeah, but you could have, if you took one hit, you could have claimed that it was for personal use, and you wouldn't have got the sales.
Okay. Okay, we got a couple more to get through, and we're past time, so we got to move along, because we got Bill's studies to get through, too.
Okay.
But here's an interesting one. Bill sent me this one, too. You know how people in recent years have been going AWOL in the woods? They go hiking, and they immediately get lost, and then there's like a four-state hunt
yes.
to find them, and
yeah.
half the time they're dead.
Yeah.
Well, interestingly enough, they've discovered one of the causes for this is the hikers often say, my equipment wasn't working, something malfunctioned, like their compasses went bad or whatever.
So what Viagra's for?
They've discovered that the wire in underwire bras can cause compasses, the newer models, to go haywire.
I've always found the area around the bra to be true north.
I've always found that underwire bras made me go haywire as well.
Yeah, so that now the
the direction I headed.
So now the Mountaineering Council is, oh, I've never heard of them, but they say
suggesting that women go braless.
That's right.
They definitely have. They have suggested that female climbers should take care not to wear an underwire bra.
Heroes of the week.
You know we had a hero of the week story.
Braless is better.
So I'm going to go hang out in the mountains.
I had some friends from our local 502 club went missing in the mountains. They had this huge thing looking for them. 2 days later, these guys came hiking out of the mountain and said, what was all the big thing about?
Yeah.
They're like, we were looking for you. And they're like, we weren't lost.
Yeah, we went on a
three-day
hike.
We had a pigeon campsite.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we went on a three-day hike.
This is one of Bill's studies published in the journal Neuropsychopharmacology.
Ooh, this sounds loaded.
yeah, it does.
It is. And it bolsters Bruce's claim that because, you know, the booze doesn't all cook out and he doesn't want to mess with even the phenomenon, setting off the phenomenon of craving with the taste. In this study that was done with, interestingly enough, rats, they found that just the taste of alcohol can trigger dopamine release in the brain, leading to a possible relapse in alcoholics.
In alcoholic rats?
Yes, in alcoholic rats.
It's so hard to keep rats sober these days.
Or cancer-free.
Yeah.
But this is actually the
alive
first...
Alive in a lab.
This is actually the first series of experiments that any research institution has done that actually shows that the taste of the drink, without any intoxicating effect, can trigger the dopamine activity in the brain.
I don't know that that's necessarily a stupid study.
I don't think it is either, but... But
they should have paid us to do it.
But here's a stupid study. Baylor University, Bill sent this one in. And a large dose of alcohol may cause greater impairment in coordination in the elderly.
Duh.
More so than in young people.
Okay,
may
duh.
May cause them to fall more often.
Duh.
Being old might cause them to fall more often.
Yeah, you think?
Who, how much did they pay for this?
I don't know, but it was Baylor University.
Amazing.
Well, they think that it will have long-term ramifications because of all the baby boomers heading into their elderly years.
Hey, you guys, if you're old and you drink, you have a greater chance of falling down.
Because you can't stay standing up pretty well when you're sober.
I'll sit at the bar.
And again, a study done on elderly rats.
Elderly rats?
Yes.
Really?
The rats were at least 18 months old.
Are they collecting Social Security?
Under this administration, probably.
Yeah.
Ooh. Send your hate mail to Shelley.
I've been getting political in the last couple of shows. I better stop
people
that.
People will not be sending hate mail because you can't spend food stamps on postage stamps.
Oh.
Oh. Okay, well, I didn't go that far.
Well, you kind of did. You just didn't realize it. I just enunciated it for you better.
Thank you, Mark.
You're welcome, Shelley.
Okay. Now, this is really
the more
disgusting.
The show goes on, the more Shelley turns into Mark.
I know. I'm so proud.
I'm morphing. No.
I'm so
I have
proud.
My own unique
go back
weapon.
And listen to shows from 3 years ago with Shelley just. the smoke was coming out of her ears while I was talking.
This story is really disgusting, and I would never, ever, ever drink this, even if I wasn't an alcoholic.
Go ahead.
The Japanese. Have
Ohio.
Created, no, Japanese have created the brewery Sankt Gallen. has created a beer made from elephant poop.
I will not be enjoying that.
I will not either. They harvest the poop.
There are some things that make me glad I'm an alcoholic.
Which also contains coffee beans. Uh-huh. This is like the civet coffee. The elephant's
monkey
coffee
shit
beans
coffee.
That comes out all crunched up in their poop. Uh-huh. And this gives the beer its distinct flavor. Now, they're not calling it elephant poop beer. They're calling it coffee stout.
Mm.
But
it's nutty.
A combination. Nutty. See, every time I laugh, it makes my muscles in my back seize up.
Shelly's laughing as she's in tears.
I'm quoting one of the people who was a taste tester for this. After taking my first sip, there was an initial bitterness that got washed over by a wave of sweetness. Following that, a mellow body rolled in and spread out throughout my mouth.
Wonderful. You know what that description means?
Mellow body.
You know what that description means? Read the description again.
After taking my first sip, there was an initial bitterness that got washed over by a wave of sweetness. Following that, a mellow body rolled in and spread out throughout my mouth.
Do you know what we just found out?
What?
What tastes like shit really tastes like.
That's true.
You know, that tastes like shit.
Now we know.
Really?
Now we know.
Some mellow creaminess that went throughout my mouth.
We now have
starting out bitter with a little bit of sweetness.
We now have a description of it.
Now, let me ask you this. Does it matter what the elephant ate to change the flavor of the beer?
Well, no, it has to be the specific beer or specific poo from the elephant that ate the coffee beans.
Feed a little Chinese food.
Can you imagine?
Happens.
Can you imagine feeding a bunch of elephants coffee beans? They'd be running around like crazy.
I know.
Interestingly enough, the beer is extremely expensive. It sells for $1,100 a kilogram.
Wow.
I don't know why they're measuring that in kilograms. It's a liquid.
You know what the good news is? They have plenty of supply.
Yeah. No one wants it.
Yeah, really. Okay. Well, we really need to get on with the show, so we'll stop there. That's the end of Bougie News.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober, internet radio. Yeah.
Shout out
to the New Way Foundation.
Sober College.
At selfwillhappens.com for Sober College. They've got one of our players on that site. We do get embedded plays from there.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mark, we have a topic.
We do. It's plastered all over your shirt.
It is. I'm wearing a Rule 62 shirt.
Uh-huh.
What does it say on the back, Sean?
Don't take yourself too seriously.
That's not what it says on the back.
That is exactly what
it says
on the back.
Says on the back.
I thought it said, I don't take myself too seriously.
No, it just says, don't take yourself too seriously.
Really?
I see. Stand up.
Oh. Yes, I see. Oh. I know. I don't take myself too seriously.
It's from Bonnyweed, Scotland.
Everything else is just crap.
Yeah, if it's not Scottish, it's crap. Brought to me by Marty, our friend Marty, who went to the UK convention for CA and brought
Hi,
it
Katie.
Back.
Katie.
Where's Katie been?
She's still hanging in there. Katie Uck.
Yeah, she's commented on some shows and stuff lately.
Okay.
And it's totally adorable. She changed her name on Podomatic to be Katie Uck.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Isn't that cute?
Katie Uck.
That's awesome.
Katie Uck. Okay, so, Rule 62. Brought up a little bit from some emails we had weeks past.
Yeah.
Where, and some even comments I read on Facebook. Someone said, wow, that, you know, I listened to 3 minutes of the show. I didn't find it to be very recovery driven. And I'm thinking, 3 minutes would barely get you through the jingle and part of the high.
Yeah. How are you?
Hey, how are you?
What stupid things have you done today?
And I'm wondering, since it's really plain every time we post a show, that it says that Recovery 101 is based loosely on 12-step recovery programs, but it goes on the theory of Rule 62, which is don't take yourself so damn seriously. And then everyone expects it to be, or not everyone, but certainly some people, expect it to be like a seriously graphic recovery show. And do we talk about recovery? Yes, we do.
A graphic?
We do in a
right.
coffee-ish,
it's a
in a coffee-ish kind of way.
Yeah, and we talk about it. It's like going to the meeting after the meeting, like sitting at coffee. It's like, do we talk some recovery? Yes. Do we talk other crap? Yes. Just like you would if you worked in an insurance agency. You go out to lunch. You talk a little about the insurance, what's going on in the insurance office. You talk, hey, what are you going to do later? Talk about a little bit what's going on in the world, a little more insurance. You go back to work. That's kind of the way we are with recovery.
Yeah. So lighten up, folks.
Lighten up! Shelley, do you go by Rule 62?
I don't say it that way because nobody outside of the program understands that, but like at work, when things get a bit too dramatic, I have been known to say, wow, this is not cancer research. We don't have to get that excited. Because it's really, you know, lives do not hang in the balance of whether or not we put a book in, you know, 100 or 101.62.
Wow, you remind me of Will Ferrell in Anchorman. Wow, that escalated quickly.
Yeah.
Yes, we did. We did have a...
I stabbed someone in the chest with a trident.
Our son is looking more and more like Slash every day.
Yes.
He's got the long hair. He's got the specs.
That's right.
Got the hat. You need a stovetop hat, though. Yeah. And it would help if you had a guitar.
Go get yourself some cheap sunglasses.
He's got some cheap sunglasses.
Dun, 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 dun. And not anymore. Sunglasses. They're broken sunglasses now. He dropped them on the ground.
Pretty good, huh?
Anywho, where were we?
Rule 62.
Oh, yes. See, we're not taking ourselves too seriously.
We never do.
Well, I think that at some point, sometimes in the program, people, you know, they latch on to recovery. They get serious about their recovery, which is what everybody tells them to do.
Yes,
and
clearly.
Then they translate that into every other aspect of their lives, and there's no room for laughter. There's no room for fun. There's, you know, because everything is a huge, hairy deal. You know, it's like when people are always saying in meetings, you know, somebody will say something funny, we're laughing, ha-ha, and somebody will always chime in with, people are dying. I'm like, yeah. What?
I do that.
Yeah, but you're killing them.
Okay, well, I try to leave that point out.
But yeah, we know that. We know this is serious. And we try to impart that to the newcomer. But if that's the only message we tell them, they're going to think that, wow, life's really going to suck now. I really don't want this.
I came to get sober, not somber.
Right.
Mark?
Yes, we are not a glum lot.
You got loaded. You got... sober for the same reason.
I got sober
got
for the
loaded.
Same reason I got loaded, to have fun.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I said something in a meeting one time to some newcomer that wasn't maybe particularly soft and squishy.
Soft and squishy.
Really? You?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And somebody said, how can you say that? And I said, I opened my mouth and the sounds came out.
I opened my mouth and out it came.
It was really easy to
from
say.
There.
Wings on my tongue.
You know, I'm like, calm down, guys. You realize what we are. You know, somebody was like deifying the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I say, yeah, but both those guys shit in their pants more than once.
Yeah, and? They probably be way more than once.
Yeah. I'm like, you know, think about who wrote the thing.
One of my favorite things is looking for weird stuff, specifically for me in the Big Book, but I'm sure people have found things like it in the NA basic text and other literature, but things like where the sponsor tells the sponsee, he wants him to go look up, the guy tells the sponsor, I'm having problems with relationships and recovery. Mm-hmm. He says, look, as fate would have it, on page 69 of the Big Book, it talks about sex. I want you to go read that from the top and... you know, and study that and let me know what you think. So the guy goes, and he accidentally goes to page 96 instead of 69. He starts reading at the top. It says, do not be discouraged if your prospect does not respond at once. Seek out another alcoholic and try again. You are sure to find someone desperate enough to accept with eagerness what you have to offer.
Perfect.
Awesome. I love that. That's sort of like my favorite Big Book quote ever.
Big Book sends you to have an affair with another alcoholic.
I don't know. I'm speaking of being too serious. People around us, I've noticed, at least around me, normies, can get a little too serious.
You know, isn't that the truth?
When I'm at work, it's like if I walk in and they're all talking about their weekend and so-and-so was talking about some party or whatever, they all shut up and they all say they're sorry. It went on for like a few months. I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. I mean, before I finally said, guys, you can talk about it. It's not like it's a forbidden subject. I don't care. You know, and then after I made a few jokes about, you know, so-and-so ending up with their head down the toilet or whatever, then it broke the ice and they were able to converse normally. But it's like they all feel like they have to tiptoe around.
I love the conversing normally for normies. Let's talk about all the times we got effed up.
Yeah. Which is the same stuff we do.
Yeah.
I was paid a great compliment at work a few weeks back. I walked in and one of our other employees was talking to a friend of hers that was there. And I walked in and I said, how you doing? And she said, this is Mark. He's our easy button here.
He's our what?
He's our easy button.
Oh, that's nice.
He's the guy, whenever there's problems, we go to him and he hits the easy button. He just seems to, and I'm like, you guys get real tied up in stuff. Don't get, this person's really upset. Well, get him on the phone. What are you upset about? This, did that. Okay, well, what are you upset about? Okay, what are you upset about? You know? Stop.
Well, I get things like that at my work, too, where it's like, my biggest catchphrase lately has been, you know what? Shit happens.
Yeah.
I mean, my business does deliveries, and stuff doesn't always come in on time, and stuff doesn't always go out on time. And
you called me.
People are, like, getting all head up, and I'm like, you know what? I'm like, shit happens.
Yeah.
That's it. What do? We fix it. That's what we do. You know, I mean, we can't, you know, being downtrodden about something doesn't help anything get fixed. Mm-hmm. You know, so just...
Yeah. I always liked the one T-shirt that said, if I give you a new one, give you your money back, and shoot the guy who sold it to you, will you be happy?
Nice.
Well, I think that part of many of us who can look at life with some measure of levity, I think part of that comes from the fact that we came from the pits of despair. Anything after that is a dawdle.
Yeah, we almost died. It's all better.
Yeah. Everything is better than the way it used to be. And that works really well at work for me because, you know, I work with the public a lot. We get a lot of people in there that are extremely upset over a 15-cent fine, and they are determinedly sure that they turned that book in on time.
Yeah, for 15 cents.
For 15 cents.
If I was standing at the counter, I'll pay the 15 cents for them.
I have done that.
No, get out of the way.
Here, shut up.
Get out of the way so I can check out my books.
Yeah.
But, and you know, and staff, they get all upset. Well, this patron wants this and this and this. And I said, I'll look at it. Like, last week we had somebody that returned something that was extremely overdue, $18 in overdue fees for a DVD, but he lost the box. And I looked at it, I said, and everybody's getting all upset about this. And I said to myself, if I just charge him the overdue fees and let him skate on the box, he probably won't give me any guff. And that's exactly what I did. The whole thing was over in 2 minutes. Yeah. And everybody looked at me like, you can't do that. And I said, I just did.
Yes, I can.
It wasn't that big of a deal.
Or you could charge them $5 for the box and cut the late fees in half. We made more money my way. Go away.
No. Well, just because it was easier in the register to do one or the
other. Yeah. But well, no kidding.
You know, But it's not that big of a deal, but everybody seems to think everything is a big deal. But because I went through what I went through, I can look at situations at work and not get quite so head up as everybody else. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that normies have had that experience.
Well, they certainly don't. So, Shelley, what would your final words on Rule 62 be?
As far as rules go, it's probably the only one that I really adhere to assiduously.
And for the normal alcoholics?
Oh. for everybody else. My dad, when I was younger, and he was in the program. He was in a motorcycle club. There were only four members. They had two rules. The first rule was nobody could have any Harleys, because at that time Harleys broke down a lot. And the second rule was there were no rules.
So you could have a Harley if you wanted.
So one of the guys had a Harley. And it worked really well for them. So that's I would follow along with that. Make up one rule and then declare that there are no rules.
Mark.
What?
Final thoughts.
It is what it is.
S-O-C-K-S.
You know, I mean, it's one of my favorite quotes from the movies. Bill Murray and Meatballs. It just
doesn't
matter.
My final words are two sets of words. Of course, the first set of words is don't take yourself so damn seriously.
Right.
The second one is there are only two rules. Rule number one, don't sweat the small stuff. Rule number two, it's all small stuff. Shelley, who's our friend back east?
That would be Bruce.
The other white meat?
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com. You can read his fine publication online. You can have it emailed to you, or you can subscribe in the post. You can also inquire about franchise
opportunities. You can subscribe in the post?
You'll get it in
the post.
And
he will send it to you in the post.
She left that line out.
Yeah.
So
sorry.
We'll fill it in the post.
Yeah. Whatever.
In the post. We'll fill it in the post.
Rule 62 here.
We'll fill it in the post.
You can also inquire about franchise opportunities so that you can bring the 12-Step Gazette to your town.
Sweet. Mark?
Yes?
Someone's listening to the show?
Well, we appreciate it. We appreciate you fighting the good fight over there with Potomatic, and we are hoping the day comes where they do get things fixed. If you listen to the show, iTunes, however you're getting it, that we ask that you go to our recovery101.net site and listen to the show from our site. It'll take you to the Potomatic site, where you can click on either the show itself or you can click on Permalink. I will kind of send you toward Permalink. It'll probably be your best chance of maneuvering.
Yes.
But anyway, listen to the show, comment, like it, put it on playlists, go to our Facebook page and make any comments you want to make about shows that if you can't get up onto Podomatic to do it, and we look forward to hearing from you. Thanks.
Awesome. We've got email addresses at recovery_101@gmail.com. If you'd like to join the crack advertising staff, that's recovery101radio@radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101. Rule 62.
You've already heard it.
Don't take yourself so damn seriously. Shelly, who's the lead up music guy?
I'll do it one for Fran from Forever Amber.
Sweet. Everybody try and leave it better than... hi, Fran. Everybody try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
Welcome back, Fran.
And take care of you.